This podcast discusses exchange-traded options issued by the Options Clearing Corporation. Options involve risk and are not suitable for all investors. Individuals should not enter into options transactions until they have read and understood the risk disclosure document, characteristics, and risks of standardized options. Available by calling 1-888-OPTIONS or by visiting www.888options.com. None of the information in this presentation should be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell a security or to provide investment advice.
Good news for investors this week as the market closed at a 17-week high.
This is OIC's Covered Calls and Income Strategies podcast number 7, Selling Puts, Return Calculations.
All right, the return calculations, they're going to be slightly different because of the amount of money that we have in the account, one versus another, but essentially they're the same as covered calls. So we have an $81.25 asset. I'm selling the 80 puts, 60 days. I'm going to deposit the $7,800. Return calculation assumes the stock price above the strike price and it's going to expire worthless. We're also assuming that we could do this again and again and again, and we may not be able to do that. Income over investment multiplied by time factor. So we have income divided by investment times the time. So we have the put plus the interest divided by the cash deposit times days, year, divided by days to expiration. We get approximately 16%, or 15% if you take out commissions, because commissions would reduce it a bit. So if I sold the 75 put, would my rate of return be higher or lower? If I sold the 80 put successfully, it'd be higher, because I got a decent premium and I would have seen some appreciation, the fact that I sold this put for more. So again, you have many choices. It depends on how bullish or bearish you are on which strike price you select. I would not go out into leaps, because the reason that you sell options is to take advantage of time decay. So you don't want to sell a 2 month or a 2 year option. You want to stay in that 6 month time frame normally, even maybe in the 4 month time frame, last 4 months when they start to really start to decay, maybe even 3 months. So here's the worksheet that shows the same exact thing. We have a $2 put. The interest, depending on if you get any interest, equals your income divided by your cash deposit, 2.6% times the times that I could do it a year, which is about 6 times, assumes that I could get about 15%, 15.6%. If I had a more dangerous stock and I sold a put for $3, rate of return would be higher because I'm taking more risk. Risk and reward are inherently linked. You can't get away from that. What do you do if the stock stays above the strike price until expiration? This is a personal choice. I could do nothing and wait for the put to expire, or I could buy back the put for 10 cents. Why would you buy back the put? You want to reduce the risk. That's the exact reason why you'd want to do it. Yes, you did not achieve your 15.6% because you had to buy the put back for 10 cents. You had to pay another commission. So a lot of times you say, oh, I threw that money away. The one time the stock all of a sudden gaps down $10, you're like, oh, thank God I bought that put back. So is there an easy answer? No. If you got to sort of get the feel if it makes sense. If I've made most of my money, buy the put back. It's probably a good idea. Again, you should always have a plan. Try to stick to your plan. Easier said than done, but if you have a plan, at least if you have a plan, you could try to follow it. Okay, another follow-up. So what should I do if it's above the strike price? Well, this is very similar to a covered call. If I did a covered call and I was successful, I'd probably do it again. I could write another put on the same stock, write a put on another stock. I don't know. Normally, if I'm successful with something, I keep doing it. I do caution you, though, that I don't ratchet up my trades. If I'm doing 2 lots or 4 lots, I don't start doing 8 lots and 16 lots just because I had a couple successes, because that It's a recipe for disaster, that you start to trade bigger than you're comfortable with. There's no objective answer to this question. Every investor must make their own individual decision. What should I do if the price of the stock begins to decline sharply? Should head for the hills. You know, we've all been there. Sometimes we did the right thing and waved the white flag, and sometimes we didn't, and we normally regretted the times that we did not. So you can roll to another put at a lower strike. B, this is, I call it the put your helmet on approach, hold the short put position and sort of hope that it comes back. Or you can buy back the short put and realize the loss. That's the painful thing. Again, it's about follow-up. So unless you have a really strong feeling, you probably should do A or C. B is, you know, you really think the stock's coming back. It's entirely up to you. But just think about the ramifications of the future. The past is the past. What's going to happen in the future for this stock? Having a predetermined stop loss is advisable. Easier said than done again. There's no objective answer. I'd urge you to do it. But of course, you know, I've been there where I didn't do it. I swear you'd never do that again, and you do it. So try to have a plan and stick to your plan.
We hope this podcast has helped you learn how to perform put return calculations and the importance of follow-up planning. If you still have any options questions, just call us at 1-888-OPTIONS. Next in the series is OIC's podcast number 8, Covered Combinations.